I'm not a senior partnership manager. My job's just changed. I am now a, I don't know what I am, but I work with Compassion. That's the second time I've done that. I'm really sorry. I work with Compassion, and I'm a strategic development manager. And my job really is to speak to kind of national leaders, big denominations and churches and what have you, and talk about Compassion and what we do and how, through Compassion, children's lives are changed and how this world is impacted. So my role just seems to be continually changing. But I'm here today. I mean, we go back quite a long time, Steve, and I was here. You've done a great job with the church, you guys. And well done. It is. It really... Come on, give me a round of applause. Hope you can hear that. It really is a fantastic job, you know, because a lot of churches, and I know we developed a church back there in Cornwall, and we know how much energy it goes into getting a building ready, you know, for people to come to where they can find Christ, where it's a comfortable place and a comfortable space. So it's a privilege being with you today. Can I just pray before I start? Is that okay? And glance at the clock. The clock's right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're here in this place. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us today. I want to thank you, Father, for this church, for the legacy of this church, for those that have gone before us in this place and those that are followers, Lord. We realize that we carry the baton, and Lord, we're here to do our bit today so and pave the way for the next day that's coming. So, Lord, into that stream I drop today, Lord, and with a word of encouragement, hopefully, and with a thank you to those in the church that currently sponsor children. So, Father, to that end, I pray that you would just remind me, refresh that anointing in me that you've placed upon me, that I might encourage all the good people of this church in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I work for Compassion. Just out of curiosity, if you sponsor a child with Compassion, just show us your hand. There we go. There's a couple here online. Yeah, there we go. We've got... That's great. Okay, well, thank you on behalf of the kids. Thank you. I get to meet those children and see their lives, how their lives are so dramatically changed. What I want to do, first of all, is before I bring the word, I just want to bring you a few statistics that pertain to this church. I think there are around about 5 people sponsor children here at the moment. So what is Compassion? How do we work? Spend a little bit of time on that, if that's okay with you. So I don't know whether you guys can see the screen. Will you be able to see the screen? You won't, okay. As the technicians are already working on this now, even as I speak. Yeah. Isn't it marvellous what you can do with computers these days? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a couple of videos, a couple of bits and pieces as we go, and just be encouraged, please. How does Compassion work? What does it do? Well, here's a clip that hopefully will show you. Famous last words. There we go. Fantastic. So how does it work? What does Compassion do? Well, through our child sponsorship program, we ensure that children who are born in extreme poverty get the same chances that we all get. I'm just, there we are, and then I can see you guys as well then.
So the way it works is like this. It costs £28 a month to sponsor a child. Now, I want to lift any pressure from anybody in this place or online. You do not have to sponsor a child. All those in favour, smile and say aye. It's okay, there's no pressure. So do not feel any pressure of what I'm going to say. £28 sponsors a child in our Christian child sponsorship programme. And the way that works is like this. That £28 will lift that child out of extreme poverty. Extreme poverty means that that family live on less than $1.9 per day, and normally it's way less than $1 a day. So, putting that into real terms, these kids will sleep on mud floors. They won't have running water. They won't have sanitation. They won't have nutritious food. They'll scavenge food. They'll beg for food. They'll get it. It will drop out of trees, and they'll get food from there. They'll have no medical help, generally, and very, very little education, little to zero education. It is the worst level of poverty on the planet. And believe it or not, there are 350 million children currently in extreme poverty. And that number through COVID has increased for the first time in over 20 years. We've seen extreme poverty increase exponentially as COVID wreaks havoc always, isn't it? Always those who are at the bottom of the pile come off worst. Seems to be the way it is. And so our job just got harder at Compassion. Now listen, good news, 2.2 million children are currently sponsored through Compassion. Woohoo! You're allowed to say woohoo! Okay, bit more enthusiasm next time, but that's pretty good. But 2.2 million children are currently sponsored through Compassion. We are an evangelical Christian organisation. So those kids, on every Saturday, they're in a project where they hear about Jesus, they hear about the love of Jesus. We educate them to a high level. You're going to be hearing from four of them a little bit later about the impact and the power of what we do. You'll be hearing testimonies from the kids themselves. But it really is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Now, today, your church is connecting formally with Compassion. You've already got Compassion sponsors in your church, around about five of them, but today is a big day. And we're going to give you opportunity online. You have opportunity here, you're going to have opportunity. If God squeezes your heart to sponsor a child, please do it, all right? If you're feeling pressure and guilt, don't do it. You know, never give under compulsion, the word says, doesn't it? So we don't give because we're forced to give or guilty to give, but when the Holy Spirit causes us and calls us to give, then we should. So just be open to that. But here are your stats now. Now, normally I wouldn't be able to show these stats at a launch. This is called a launch. But because you've already got five people sponsoring, I can show you something of the impact that you're going to see from your church. So I'm going to turn that around. Oh, you can kind of see it on the screen there. There we are. Get out of the way, Mike. So here's your Celebration Sunday stats, if we were doing a celebration. So Southampton, you currently sponsor five children. So five children currently sponsored through your church. And these are stats only for your church. Five children, there they are. If you're online or you're in here today and you can't see your child up there, you need to see Sheila and I, let us know. And we'll link your child to this church, and then your stats will become part of the church stats as well. Your children are in five countries, so each child comes from a different country. And the children we got with us today are from different countries as well. So we're going to follow that trend rather than focusing on a country. You have one in Uganda, one in El Salvador, one in Brazil, one in Kenya, and one in the Dominican Republic. So that's where your children are from. 21 letters have been sent in the last year, 11 sent by five beneficiaries. So the kids have sent 11 letters out to you guys who sponsor, and you have sent 10 letters back by five sponsors. So do you know what? 10 out of 10. That is brilliant. That means everybody who sponsors has sent a letter back. And let me tell you, not every church gets that result. So you're doing good. The letters are so important for the kids, because in those letters you say, Jesus loves you, he's got a plan for your life, praying for you, praying for your family, he's going to break you out of this poverty, he's going to give you a hope and a future. Those letters are so important for the children, and we expect our sponsors to write maybe 2-3 times a year to encourage the kids. You sponsor 4 girls and 1 boy. I'm just saying, there's a bit of bias there, just saying. Equal opportunities, not now, kidding. And here we go. Since the partnership started, this is Southampton Elim Church. This church has provided, through your sponsorship, more than 1,232 hours spent by children in our Christ Centre project. That's 1,200 hours of Jesus these kids have had because of you. Pauses. Wait for that to sink in. That's a lot of Jesus you're giving those kids. A minimum of 308 nutritious meals. Now, those nutritious meals go to the children, but it uplifts the family as well, so their parents and their siblings also get fed because of the sponsorship you pay. Because we uplift the family, the child, the sponsored child gets the education, but the rest of the family get benefit because we uplift the family as well. At least seven medical checks means that those kids, it could be a vaccination, it could be what we'd call an intervention, so it could range from toothache to open heart surgery. As in Jersey, a couple of weeks ago, one of the pastors there, his little girl was flown to Germany for open heart surgery. Little girl in Uganda, Compassion, flew around to Germany. She had open heart surgery, and so it ranges. And on top of that, 5 Bibles have been given also to those children. On top of your AGM stats, so you can now include these in your AGM if you're that way disposed. Steve, glances over at Steve. Your missions giving also has £1,590 minimum given directly into international missions through your work through sponsoring children through Compassion, because it's missional work. So well done you. And on top of that, you've given 14 gifts as well. And again, I tip my hat to you. That is such a good number. That means you're giving Christmas and birthday presents, and maybe a couple, it looks like, actually a couple of family gifts in there as well. So we've just sent ours off for one of our kids in Brazil, as it's his birthday, and we've sent like 20 quid off. That will probably buy a goat for the family, that will provide an income for the family, and eventually, let's not go there. But it's a good thing, it's a really good thing. So thank you for making a difference. Well done. I would say applaud yourselves, but I'm not going to, because I don't know whether you will. Would you applaud yourselves? Go on, applaud yourselves. Go on. It's fantastic. It really is fantastic. When you get to meet the kids, you see the difference this makes. It's off the scale. It's transformatory. It's just, I can't begin to tell you the difference. You imagine you've got zero, and suddenly somebody comes along, sits you down and says, from this day on, there is a Christian person in Southampton that is sponsoring you. You're going to school. You're going to be provided for. You're going to have food on the table. You don't need to go begging anymore, because you're going to be sponsored. We're going to educate you. Some of these kids get to degree level. Yes, sir.
Mate, I can't hear you.
Oh, can't you?
No, we just missed what you just said. I think it's the lead's not very good. Sorry.
Come in Tokyo. Shall I use this one?
Sorry about that.
Hello. I didn't mean to. Can you hear that one?
Yeah.
You can hear that one. Great. Okay, yeah, this is where this all goes. Okay, all this is new to me, all this technology. Can you hear me now?
Kind of. The closer you come to us, the better it'll be.
The closer to the screen?
Close to the screen, yeah. There's a problem we're having today. Sorry.
That's all right. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. I just want to be close to you, Mike, that's all.
I know, I have that effect on people. So what I was saying was that you guys are making a phenomenal difference, and imagine you have zero and suddenly somebody comes along and says, God's told me to sponsor you, to invest in your life, to change your life, to educate you to an incredibly high level, the best level we can. Your family will have food, you'll have medical intervention, so if you get sick, we're going to help you. Imagine if you have zero and suddenly you have that. It is a tremendous change into your life. So on the back of that now, I'm going to speak loud. You wave at me if you can't hear me. I'm going to glance over at Steve particularly there. So I want to talk to you today about legacy. I want to kick in with the word here, with the word of God, and kind of build this around scripture, because Sheila and I on the way here were praying for a specific word for you as a church. What does God want to say to Southampton Elim Church? And I do believe in the prophetic, and I do believe that what I bring is a prophetic word to the church. And that Jesus said, if you've got ears to hear, listen. So my job is deliver and listen as well, because I'm part of the congregation. But here we go, legacy. What is legacy all about? Next week, it is Remembrance Sunday. Remembrance Sunday, I'm a firm believer in Remembrance Sunday, because the liberty we have, the legacy of liberty we have in this country, was purchased by men and women who gave everything they had so that we would thrive today. We cannot take that for granted. But it is a legacy that's been left us. If they hadn't have paid the price, we wouldn't have been reaping the rewards today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, great. Okay, a muffled amen. I heard that. Legacy is something that has been bequeathed to us through death. So I've lost three people in my family, and through those deaths, there was legacy left. And legacy can be complicated for those of you who've been through that, you know, writing the will and making sure that everything goes to the right place. It is quite a complex process, but it's really important to do, because it means that that which we leave, that legacy that we leave, becomes an inheritance for those who are still there. So, Jesus says this. Here we go. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Now you're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And then he says this, listen carefully. He says this: you didn't choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that'll last. Now we're talking legacy, fruit that'll last, something that's going to last outside of me, something that's going to live beyond me. This church is here to leave legacy. Somebody muffle amen.
Amen.
It's here to leave legacy, because what you guys put in today, tomorrow others will reap from that. And you might be sowing today. You might be in a sowing phase where you feel, oh, we're not seeing all the stuff coming back that we thought we'd see coming back. But that's okay, because what you're doing is you're investing and you're leaving legacy that others maybe reap. And if you read through scripture, you read many times that happens, doesn't it? Others reap where they didn't sow. That's what the word says. That's what Paul says. So legacy is really, really important. Let me ask you a question. When we remember next Sunday those soldiers that gave their lives, why do we have Remembrance Sunday? And why did those soldiers lay down their lives for us? Did they lay down their lives for us so that we can have a memorial service every year and sing a few songs and wear poppies and stuff like that? Of course they didn't. They lay down their lives that we might have liberty and freedom, and that we might be world changers and make this world a better place. So it's so important that we capture the heart and the essence of what this is all about. We celebrate victory over a formidable enemy and recount our stories, glory stories, that honor him. It's fruit that lasts. The word there, that to last, is the word mere, and mere means eternal. So let me bring this down to earth a little bit. What I do, I want to change something eternally. This message today, I don't just want to deliver a message that just tickles ears and maybe gives everybody a bit of buzz. But I'd far rather preach a message today that changes eternity. Do you know what I'm saying? If through what I say today, God might trigger a heart or release a soul or do something, that's fruit that'll last. That's fruit that'll last. You know, I used to have a phrase on my door that said, on my office door that said this. I'm an Ealing pastor, by the way, just in case you're wondering, just checking. And I had a sign on my door that I put on there, and it said this. It said, "It's better to leave legacy than memory." You've got to think about that for a moment or two. It's better to leave legacy than memory. Memories fade, memories go, memories of me will go. However, what I leave that is legacy will live on and live on and live on through people's lives. What does Peter say? He says this, "Praise be to the God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance." Inheritance, legacy, that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Listen to the way the Message puts 1 Corinthians 15:20. Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Isn't that a great verse? So Jesus leaves legacy that's positive, doesn't he? Jesus came, died. Why did he die? So that he leave legacy for us, that we might live forever and we reap the rewards of that. Along with freedom through his death, we inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5, eternal life, Matthew 19:29. We inherit the kingdom, Matthew 25:34. We inherit the imperishable life, 1 Corinthians 15:50. We inherit hope. Come on, people here need hope, surely. We inherit hope. That's ours. That's gifted to us through the cross, Ephesians 1:18. We inherit his promises, Hebrews 6:12. We inherit blessing, 1 Peter 3:9. We inherit the water of life. Through the death of Christ, we have legacy that we need to cash in and use and enjoy, because that's what he's given us through his death. That's what he left us. Because we're all sons, we get the inheritance. You know, we're all sons in Christ, neither male nor female. Sons get the main inheritance, and you get, you know all that. I know you do. So because we're spiritual sons, whether we're men or women, we get the spiritual, the full firstborn inheritance. So we get an inheritance. But here's the deal. Because we're sons, we leave inheritance. It's not just about me getting stuff and going squandering and spending it. It's about me passing on some of that stuff to others to release others as well. That's the way inheritance works. And at my time of life now, I'm thinking about that more and more and more. What's written in the will for my children will impact my children, my children's children, my children's children's children. Before a soldier went to the front line, he had to write a will. Don't know whether you knew that. Had to write a will, and he had to put it in his service book and keep it in his service book so that if anything happened to him, his will was there and they could execute the will, his last will and testament. I've been hugely challenged by a passage I read that speaks about leaving legacy. And the question is, what am I going to leave behind? I'll put that question to you guys too. What are you going to leave behind? And I'm not just talking about the family silver and a couple of paintings. I'm talking spiritually. What are you leaving behind? What is going to stay when you're gone? What are you investing in that's going to outlive you? There's the challenge. That's the nub of what I feel God wants me to share today. What I'm going to read is part of a letter written by Paul to a church that he and Silas pioneered in the largest seaport of Macedonia. And it's the book that was written, the letters that were written, is the Thessalonians. So we're reading from 1 Thessalonians. He says this, "Brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us." And then Paul says this, and this is the bit that really arrested me. This is the bit that really got me. He says this, "What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we'll glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Isn't it you?" Looking at the screen, Aren't you, he's saying, effectively, if he's here now, he'd be pointing at you, saying, it's you. You're our glory. You're our glory. You're our legacy. You're the thing that we've invested in. You're the people that we've left here behind. You're going to outlive me, and you're my glory when I stand before heaven. That's my legacy that I'm leaving. It's investment in you. Investment in you. He says this, indeed, you are our glory and joy. In other words, when Jesus comes for Paul, what's his spiritual legacy? He probably made great tents, by the way. Okay, you know he's a tent maker, Paul. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. So he probably made great tents. But he's not known for his tents. You don't hear about Paul's Tents Incorporated still, do you? But his spiritual legacy lives on. And will continue to live on and continue to impact and continue to change, because it is a spiritual legacy, not a natural legacy. Not a natural one. Investment in people. Investment in people. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, says the word of God. Outlives me, outlives my children and my children and my children's children. So I'm going to spin on a little bit through this quicker now. What is legacy, and what are motivating factors for legacy? So I'm going to do these real quick because of time. This would normally be a bit longer. But picking it out from the scripture that we read, that Paul just mentioned. Number one, hope. Hope is the language of legacy. I'm going to show you a video, if I can find it, of a guy called Richmond Wandera. When I left my church, I've been 26 years in my church in Cornwall, NCC. And to come out of that church at its peak, it was just planted and the plant was going just huge. It's going brilliantly, and the home church was doing really well. What called me to leave? This is the video that changed personally my life. It's a video of a guy called Richmond Wandera. Let me show it you quickly if I can.
Self-awareness, immediately came to our home. I remember them coming, just fire suit. were when our summer was. I got news that a young lady, Pep, she was 15 years old, a teenager. She had decided to swim. I couldn't find the words to describe the joy of feeling our home when we got the news. Richmond, you got a sponsor. Changing the number of our school. It made school will be dear to us because of you. I began to walk into that reality. That ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken.
I don't know whether you guys caught that online. No. It's one of the most impactful videos I'd ever seen. Richmond Wandering, incidentally, the little boy saw his father shot, was sponsored by a 15-year-old girl, gave his life to Christ when he was 8, is now Dr. Richmond Wandera, heads up the Pastor's Discipleship Training Network that has just trained its 4,000th pastor in Uganda and now sits on the board of Compassion UK as a director of Compassion UK. It's not a bad result, is it? That's not a bad legacy to leave for a 15-year-old girl for £28 a month. That's a pretty good... I couldn't get anywhere near that in my church with my investments. So, hope we talked about. He talked about hope in that video. I'm going to spin through this and finish this quickly. Second thing is joy. Bible says it's much more blessed to give than receive. When we leave an inheritance, when we have an inheritance mindset, where we want to leave something for somebody else, there's a joy comes into us that is wonderful. When I think of my kids and the help that I might be able to give my kids that will outlive me, and Sheila and I are both the same in this, it's a wonderful thing to have that ability to leave something for someone else. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus was facing the cross, let me tell you, I'm translating this into language that's appropriate for this message. It was legacy that kept him going to that end. He saw through the pain because he saw the gain. My goodness, I wonder how many hundreds and hundreds of people are going to be impacted through this church. There's already 5 I know of that I've just shown you on the screen. But beyond that, people that come here, people that find hope, people that find faith. Maybe somebody's online at some point in the future and they listen to these words. You just don't know. And then, of course, there's the crown. He talks about the crown. I've only got 2 trophies. One is a trophy where I spoke at a Christian Surfers conference, and it was called the Going for God trophy that they gave me, and the other one I got from my team when I ran the church, and it was called the trophy for being the greatest control freak. That's the only two trophies I've got. But I know when I stand before Jesus, I know that I'm going to bring something to him. This is a discussion straight off the bat when we're driving here. Why do we do what we do? Why do I do what I do? I do what I do because I know it's an investment in the future. And I know it transforms lives in Jesus' name. Just like he transformed my life. And of course, there's glory in it and so on and so on and so on. I want to close now. And just say this, come back to the beginning, Mike, the conclusion that reflects the introduction. Fruit that will last. What are we leaving? So maybe there's a couple of challenges here. And I just want to pray, first of all, and if you're online, I'd encourage you to pray with me as I pray this. So the first appeal, the first prayer is for us. I want us to consider what we're leaving spiritually for those that are following. What are we bringing to the table? What are we bringing? Let's bow our heads in prayer just for a second or two before the Lord. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Father, I ask you to help us to invest our lives spiritually in your kingdom, in the eternal. Not talking about money, I'm not talking about stuff, I'm talking about time, I'm talking about the quality things that we can bring. The word that we might bring to somebody that is low and down and out. The word that we can share with the lady at the checkout, at the supermarket. These investments, Lord, that put a stone in people's shoe that leaves legacy that they'll remember later on. Something that will bring something tangible into their lives that'll be there long after we've gone and long after we're not with them. Father, I pray that you'll stir us. Come on, can you agree with me in that? In the church, Father, I pray, Lord, for a real renaissance, a real reawakening of the fact that Southampton Elim Church is here to leave legacy. It's building for legacy. The work that's gone into the building will be a legacy because people will come into the building, they'll discover you, they'll find you, and there'll be world changers coming through this building. There'll be people coming through this building who will find faith in you that will go on and lead multitudes. It'll be a pebble in a pond, lead multitudes to Christ. Help us to see beyond our current world now. And help us to see the future in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Of course, my second appeal has to be for the children that I represent. I represent 350 to 450 million children who currently aren't sponsored. And so I do bring it back to that question. If God's calling you to sponsor a child, if you can afford, don't do it if you can't afford it. Don't divert money from your tithes into the church. Don't take it from missions giving that you're already giving. I'm not talking about that. Please don't do that. But if God's calling you to sacrifice for a child, then I want to encourage you to consider that seriously and change a life. Change a life. Father, as I just close this message now, Lord, with a final testimony from four graduates, four children who grew up, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this place. I thank you, Father, for the liberty and the kindness that Steve and Erica have shown me in inviting us here. And I pray, Father, we agree in prayer as a church, or whether we can help or not financially, Lord, we can all agree that you bring release onto all the children that are here, either online, through the feed, or on the table now. We pray, Lord, that these children will get set free from this crippling, terrible, debilitating thing called extreme poverty, find faith in you, and become world changers in their own right, in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.